Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Live Life by Design podcast, brought to you by Become an Investor. So, hey, we got most of the team here tonight. We're missing Sarah, of course. She had a family thing she had to take care of tonight. So we miss you, Sarah.
Yep.
We got our host, Mr. Huicho Medina.
What's up, guys?
What's up? What's up?
How are you doing?
Beautiful, man. How about yourself?
Good, man. I this is going to sound like a repeat episode, but I have another migraine.
Shit. Hey, you know what it is? All because I said, hey, man, migraine.
Yeah. Shit. Whatever.
I know, man. Sorry, dude. Sorry.
It's okay.
And then we got Miss Daniela. What's up, Danny?
What's up, guys?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great again. Oh, my God.
When you guys see the video, you know why we're laughing.
Yeah. I'm doing better than the Mr. Huicho.
I know, man. He has a Coca-Cola can up to his eye. Yeah. Crazy. Hey, whatever works, man. Hopefully that works. Make it happen. Yeah. I know that we're over here laughing at him, just adding to the pain, right?
Yeah.
Thank you guys. And know what? No pain, no gain.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Gotta get something out of it.
Right? No shit.
The pain's the weakness living your body.
Oh my God. Okay, let's shake it off. Let's shake it off.
Move it.
Back to business, guys. Back to business. So tonight's episode, we're gonna talk a little bit about real estate strategies and terms, and just to kind of make sure that you know, there's no smoke in the air as far as what any of these terms mean or anything like that, because these are all general real estate investor terms, not anything proprietary to us, but just, you know, what's been talked about or what is talked about out in the business. But before we do that, as always on the Become, I mean, oh man, I said it again, huh?
You and that.
I know. The Live Life by Design podcast.
Yeah.
We have our daily or our episode quote brought to you by Daniela.
Yeah, yeah, and the quote of today says, real estate is an imperishable asset, ever increasing in value.
Value.
There you go, guys. Thank you. It is the most solid, secure than human ingenuity has devised. It's the base of all secure and about the only indestructible secure. Russell Sage.
Yeah, God forbid the big earthquake we're expecting in California comes, because otherwise it'd become destructive.
Oh, man. Goodness. Hey, but as always, you know, this is a quote. It's there's some value, and it's tied to what we're talking about tonight. So real estate in general is, it's an asset, right? An imperishable asset, ever increasing in value. And we see that particularly here in California, right?
Yes.
California, you know, we hear that all the time. It's the spot. Oh, it's expensive. But you know what? It's still one of the only places where you can double the value in your property, you know, your property value, like almost overnight, right?
Yeah. But you know what? Something we never, I think we've never done, or I've never done before in any of our episodes, is just contradict a little bit of how this quote opens.
Real estate is an
imperishable asset. Parentheses, depending on whose hands it is on.
That's right. Right. That's a good point.
Right?
That's a good point.
So, you know, we were just talking about this earlier. It could very well be an asset, or it could quickly turn into a liability.
Big time.
You know, so depending on who's holding, again, back to it's, you know, in the eye of the beholder, who is holding the sword and what or where is that sword pointed towards? Is it pointed away or towards you?
but it's a good point because here's the thing with if real estate is an imperishable asset, right? That's to the person who's actually cash flowing. Making or paying down the liability on the property. Mm-hmm. But then if there's no liability side to it, then real estate investing maybe doesn't exist.
There's always a liability.
Right. But hear what I'm saying. Somebody who loses that asset side of the property of real estate. It
turns into liability.
It turns into a huge liability for them. And then they need somebody like us to help them get rid of that liability.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, these facts, and I'm not going against the true fact that it is an asset. I'm just clarifying that depending on whose hands it's in, right?
Yep.
It ever increasing in value? Yes, it does in different aspects, not necessarily just talking about the appreciation side of the of what the market does, but the, you know, the passive income or the massive income. As well, if you offload and liquidate properties, right? The benefits and taxes, but I do honestly, truly believe that by far it is the most solid security for your money to be invested in.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you.
My mentor told me that, you know, 123 Main Street is never gonna get up and walk away.
That's
tomorrow
true.
Morning, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes mobile homes do. Just saying.
You just know, when I read that word, imperishable, it reminds me when they use stuff like that to gain value on the property that you are getting, you are purchasing. For example, sometimes, and I know you love it, fire properties, you know, the burning down ones. Mm-hmm. Don't you buy them? I mean, if you know, I mean, if you have one wall, you can still, you know, rebuild the whole property.
Potential.
So it depends on the hands.
Yeah.
Who is going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I that is where my mind went through when I read that quote. Yeah.
Yes.
That is what I was just like, yeah, that's true. Might be a hole in the wall, but it's still, if you know that hole can have a possibility to turn in apartment or something like that, mm-hmm. if you know who is looking on that land or that burning wall over there, if they know what they can do with that, that is the value.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about this with David earlier, you know, about the infinite possibilities of what you can do with real estate investing.
Yes, sir.
Right? And then, you know, what's really cool, what I love or what made me like the flexibility in the industry so much more is that not only do I apply it to, you know, single family homes, but also by businesses with the very same strategies, you know? And As I shared with you guys, this is the second business I actually buy like that, in a creative way, just copying and pasting real estate strategies.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just the creative side. You know, if this works out for both parties or all parties involved, and we come into terms and the prices where everybody needs the numbers to be, then let's go under contract. Right. But the asset, you make it an asset or you let it go and make it a liability.
Yep.
But let's get into the terms.
So let's start with the one that everybody gets all excited about, flipping. Right. Right. So flipping involves purchasing properties, right? Typically at a much, like, you know, we acquire properties for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Then we go through, and of course, you know, to acquire that property, you got to find somebody who wants to sell that property, right? Mm-hmm. And just like you were talking about, we're talking about, you know, real estate actually where they can be that liability, where it forces people to have to sell their property. That's what we look for, right?
Yeah.
People with those issues and that liability, that monkey on their back, mm-hmm. we go in and we solve the problem.
Right.
We acquire the property, we fix it up, and we turn around and we sell it for a profit. Hence right. the word flipping.
Yeah.
Right? Flip it like a pancake, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to define that a little bit, when you talk about flipping, it's not like you repair the property, but it's small repairs. I always remember that. When you're flipping, there is nothing major. Maybe you're going to open a wall, you're going to make an open concept, but there is nothing that's going to really be major that's going to make that. That is what makes that a flip, right? That's going to be a small, not that complicated.
A quicker turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, not like a rehab.
Yeah.
Right. So a flip could be anywhere from turnkey to what, 90 days tops, I would say. Right.
90 to 100,
100, 120
tops.
120 might be getting into you trying to figure out what you're doing or stepping into a rehab or a midway yeah. rehab kind of deal, you know. But I see flips pretty much as carpet and paint.
Yeah. Maybe a new appliance and
a couple yep. of fixtures of that.
You know,
cheap stuff.
Yeah. Or worst case, cheap, you give the cabinet some love if you don't have to replace them and then just move on, you know. But if you're going to start, you know, digging into roofs and replacing ACs and yeah, water heaters and foundations and redoing all the flooring and all that crap.
But believe it or not, even just touching the cabinets. Here's the story. So even we were working on one of these in a mobile home. It's small, right? The cabinets was a smaller kitchen, and but what's so funny about it is we thought it was just going to be a quick sand, quick spray, and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Those things had so much grease caked on them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. It turned out that we ended up having to replace at least some of the cabinets up on top, and then we're able to fix the ones that are on the outside of the stove area. But, man, that was, yeah, kind of a pain in the butt for a second because, you know, it wasn't something that was planned, right? But, man, it just didn't make any sense to do.
Some of them are sticky.
Yeah, that was it, but it was nasty, too.
They're gooey. It's
like, oh, my God, man.
How about when they even have the cats in the house? You can find the grease and the hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, that's some gross stuff, too.
Yeah, that but that is still flipping. You flip the cat, 100%. You flip the grass.
But it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. So flipping, we got a good idea of what that is, what the time frame should be, right? We want to minimize holding costs, of course, to maximize our profits, and always account for the unexpected, right, where you can.
Always. I always leave space, some room for surprises. There's right. always a surprise in construction all the time. You can make the perfect plan and just draft up your plan day-to-day basis, and there's always something missing, whether it's a supplier delivering goods or a permit getting issued or a vendor showing up, a contractor finishing up.
Yes.
Funds, you know, sometimes if you have partners in and they're contributing to funding and someone locks up their money in another deal or whatever, you know, there's so many different moving parts in it that if you don't hone down on your plan from day one, you know, the obstacles are just going to be that much bigger. But in construction, you will always, always find a surprise. Always.
Right. Is that Newton's law? Anything that can go bad will?
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
That's construction.
Yeah.
In one of my projects, talking about surprise, I just talked about this one. They had the panel, right, on the bathroom. And I was just like, don't touch there. Just going to clean it up and maybe retouch the paint and this and that. And I went to buy something and come back and my demolishing guy... He had to take everything out, and there was just a hole in the wall. I was just like, what the fuck did you do?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That
I was just like, I'm going to go out, and I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. That was a surprise.
Absolutely, you know.
It's oh, like, my goodness.
I don't know if you guys saw that video on TikTok where that contractor or that investor walks in, and then his contractor had demolished the entire floor in the house.
Oh,
you didn't see that? So he told him, just take the floors out of the bathrooms. He underestimated the speed of this guy and, you know, and just his tenacity to get the work done. He demolished absolutely. I mean, there was like four square feet left.
Oh, when
he,
man.
He's like, what the hell did you do? He's like, we told him to take out the floor. He's like, oh, yeah, only the bathroom. I didn't hear that one part.
Oh, man.
You know, he's all like, I think you're fired, dude. He's like, well, yeah.
Oh, but, man, poor guy.
It could happen.
Yeah.
You know, it could happen. Poor so, dude. I mean, there's so many things, so many moving parts in a flip, in a rehab, not to say in a rehab, right, or a complete remodel. That if they're not accounted for, you're gonna take a hit.
The other project talking about rehab, it was a little bigger one, and I was expecting to change the roof,
mm-hmm.
and I knew there was going to be, you know, that was not good. But then I come back to the project, there was no roof, but there was a freaking big hole. I could see the sun coming through right on the middle of the living room. I just start laughing again. I was just like, what the heck is going on?
Man, your demolition guys, man. You got to talk to them.
Yeah.
That was the roof guy.
Yeah, chat with like, those guys, whoa. Man.
Right.
Yeah, but that was a little more complicated. You move walls, you move bearing walls, you change the flooring space, you know, that was more like a rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little longer. Actually, didn't took as long as, I think it was 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the mobile homes, like 1,300 square foot. Not bad, but it was a turn. It was fast. I mean,
yeah,
it was
quick good. Turnaround.
Good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
cool.
It was not bad, but I did got some roof. For free.
That's funny.
Right on.
Here's another term or strategy, wholesaling, right? So we talked about flipping. We talked about, you know, finding the property, which is kind of the same deal with wholesaling, right? You still got to find a property and put it under contract. But the idea of wholesaling is you're not taking on a whole lot of risk, right? And you're not having to do all the work of the flip.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically being a kind of a playing third party role, if you will. Example, Weecha wants to sell a house. Danny wants to buy a house. I'm going to put them two together and charge a fee, basically.
Right.
Weecha wants $100 for his house. Danny's willing to pay 120. Well, guess what? I'm going to sell it to you for 120. Put $20 on top of it. That's wholesaling in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
So low risk and can be, I mean, it's profitable. You know, high profits, but just there's still a lot of like wholesaling is not bad. In fact, I think we talked about this in one of our group lessons with the team, right? When we're talking about risk and reward and everything. And, you know, my thought is I still wholesale. You know, somebody's like, oh, once I get past wholesaling, he's like, no, you still will wholesale.
Yeah.
But think about also wholesaling is you're doing about 80% of the work mm-hmm. for the flip. You're mm-hmm. just not doing the flip. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing because it's very low risk, but the profit margin isn't as great. Well, I guess it is a great profit margin because you're not putting out a lot of money, but the reward maybe on that side of it isn't as great as what it is with the flip.
I don't necessarily agree with that because again, we just spoke about all the surprises.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So if you're going to wholesale a property and then just move paper, push paper, then your profits are relative to the risk in it. You know, so if you're just pushing paper really and getting a $10,000 check, that's a great return on investment.
Well, because there's no real investment per se, unless you're having to put down earnest money.
So old timers, old season investors don't consider wholesale a investment strategy. They call it transactional funding because wholesalers only get paid. They only reap the benefits of a transaction.
Right.
Right. So it's not necessarily investing. It's investing time. But guess what? If you're going to go flip a burger, you got to invest time in that too.
It's not, there's no material, there's no cost out of your pocket. Again, unless you're putting down earnest money deposit.
And even then,
it's still a small investment, right? Because here's one thing. If you're not, so newbies out there, just make sure how you write, you understand how to write up your contract with your contingencies in place and such, because you can lose that earnest money deposit.
Depends on how you structure it, yes.
Right. But that, and you know, I would argue that is still an investment. Because if you're not that savvy or you're not real familiar with what's happening,
yeah,
you can lose that money.
You could.
And then there's, you know, there's no, there's a loss there at that point.
Right. And then, you know, to better prevent that or minimize that risk, just, you know, tag along someone that's already doing what you want to do.
Just like you're at Bitcoin Investor.
And learn how is it that maybe you don't lose your earnest money deposit. Right. Yep. And maybe the deal goes south and you still make money and you recoup your earnest money deposit. So wholesaling property could, you know, it is transactional funding. You know, it's your money comes. It's only if the transaction moves forward, you'll get a check.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you're very creative and then you know how to secure your position on the in and then on the out. And then you can still make money regardless if the transaction goes south. But it's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
You know? Still, nevertheless, no risk.
Yep.
You know, or very little
risk. Very little risk, yeah.
Right? With flipping, mind you, some flips, you know, if you're not too seasoned or have that trained eye or someone to go to and put their eyes or trained eyes on your property before you say, yes, I'll flip this property. Nowadays, man, shit. I remember when a truck of concrete, okay, I'm just going to put it because everybody knows what a truck of concrete looks like. You know, the
whole nine yards.
Yeah. That truck with that big ball in the back. Yeah. 9 yards, 9.5 cubic yards of concrete used to run $650. One truck.
Wow.
Now they're close to $2,200.
Wow.
So if you lost that window of change in the pricing, right? You're gonna end up eating those $1,200 difference for every single truck. That's just the goods in the truck. Now manpower, right? Same thing with framers. Same thing with plumbers. You know, electricians. Every single phase, every single trade. Some people have minimums.
Yeah.
You know, some industries say, well, you know what? I'll help you with your flip, and yeah, it could be a 1,300 square foot manufactured home, but you know, my minimums are, you know, I don't go anything beyond 2,500 square feet, but I'll go to your 1,300. So as long as you cover my 2,500 square foot minimum.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? No, I'll just call my cousin electrician. You know,
usually with painters and stuff, though, that they'll kind of come across with that. Well, I don't do anything less than, you know, X. And yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. You know, so that's why the flip encompasses further more risk than just, you know, the mold on the wall or the broken window.
This is why it's important, though, to have your team in place.
Yeah.
Right. And absolutely. And have some people that, you know, you can work with and already, you know, you have some rapport with.
Yeah.
Because it's tough when you have to go out there and find somebody. I've been pretty fortunate that I've had a couple of good guys that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember at one time when, you know, both weren't available and I was freaking out like, oh shit. But then, you know, he was able to actually drop something and come take care of me. And it was just replacing some skirting and an awning. Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't trust anybody else to do it because I knew I was going to get fucked on pricing. You know what I mean? Because it was an emergency type job I needed done, you know? It was just one of those things.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just clear the grounds. Let's just make it very clear and very loud. I'm going to say this. I'm an active investor and I'm an active contractor. Investors are penny pinchers. Okay. They are, man. They are. I'm talking to you looking at me in that fucking camera. Investors are penny pinchers, man. And I say it as a contractor, right? So like for me, I don't do flips for other investors. Why? Because they're going to nickel and dime me, right? Mm. So that time that I'm going to give your project, let's say, you know, 30 hours worth of time into your project, whatever it is, just let's just use that as a figure of speech. 30 hours into your project. I'd rather put those 30 hours in a retail project to an everyday customer that's going to pay me top dollar for my service instead of the nickel and pincher that us real estate investors are. Because, again, we're trying to
maximize our profits.
We're trying to maximize our margins, right?
Yep.
And then nowadays, everybody's so much about, oh, my God, well, my worth is this and la, la, la. You know, prices went up sky high through COVID, and then they forgot to bring them back down. Right? Everybody forgot to bring their fucking prices back down. So now society settled and said, okay, the shortage is gone. Now the manpower shortage is gone. Goods are available. But the workforce still wants that premium.
Yeah,
that, you know? Yeah. So it kind of sucks if you don't know what you're doing. If you figure, oh, I'm going to get a flip because COVID's gone now and everything's available again. Yeah. But the price has still stayed up. If you don't do your math right, you're going to have a higher risk.
That's with everything, not just manpower too, but even just supplies.
Yeah, you know? All the goods.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I mean, it's as a rule of thumb, I remember from my mentor, he used to tell me the flipper should make three times what the wholesaler is going to make.
That's a good math.
That was like his rule of thumb.
Yeah, I would say more. Maybe four or five times. No. I get some of these wholesalers that call me all the time, you know, and tell me about the properties that they may have or they want me to look at. And my question is, oh, so what's your fee look like, you know? 20, 25K. I'm like, oh, how long have you been wholesaling? Oh, this is like my second deal. 25K, dude? Really?
Yeah, they're looking for
your math, dude.
They're looking for a very specific type of individual.
Yeah, it's just I'm not the one, man.
You know, they're either looking for that rookie that doesn't know left from right, like myself. Remember when I told you I didn't know that? I don't know my left from right. They're looking for a rookie that doesn't know left from right, or they're looking for that type of individual at that level where they're looking for a loss.
Right, but I don't even think these guys know what they're.
Oh, they don't even know that.
No. You know, we went out and walked a property that one of these wholesalers had out in Apple Valley, and he assured me up and down. And see, this is why I'm big on walking properties. Oh no, you know, repair value. It's only going to be about 45, 50K. You know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's go take a look. No, I'm telling you, I got video of it. La, la, la. All right, well, I'm going to take my guy with me. We're going to go walk it. So we went out there and we walked it, and my guy comes back and is like, dude, really? He was saying 40 to 50K? This is more like 100, 120. Mm-hmm. So I go back to him. I was like, dude, you know, that doesn't really matter. How did you come up with 40, 50K? And his response was, and I tie this story because it just blew me away. He's like, oh, YouTube. All right, cool, YouTube. What's the formula? It's like, oh, like $3 a square foot. Where? Right? I was like, how long ago did you watch this video? How long ago was this video put up? And he was like, oh, like 4 years ago. It's like, you realize those prices don't apply anymore? Like 4 years ago was like maybe before COVID. You know what I mean? And before material costs started skyrocketing. I was like, you know, before COVID, plywood was what, $40 a sheet? And quickly jumped up over 100? Right,
I wouldn't touch that price point with the 1 mile stick,
dude. I was just like, this guy's crazy. But you know, and he wanted $20K.
Yeah, like my rule of thumb, if I'm not walking the property, I'm not making an offer.
Right.
I don't care. Right. I don't care what your story is. I don't care what your seller stories is. If I can't put my foot in the property, I am not making an offer. Go look for someone else. I'm not doing it.
Definitely.
You know, that's my rule of thumb. Again, I'll say it again. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
I'm with you.
You know, so I made one mistake one time, and I allowed my ignorance to, you know, entrust someone whom I thought was knowledgeable in the space of assessing repairs. And I ate it. Mm. I really ate it. And I'm like, I was happy. I was so glad. I'm like, this is just the price of your stupidity, knowing that you broke your own rule, right? Your own foundational rule. And all you can do is laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because you applied it before, and you know for sure that you'll apply it moving forward. You know?
Lesson learned, right?
Yeah. That sounds like trading. That sounds like trading when you know that you need to put your stop loss, and you don't put your stop loss, and then you move it, and then when you look at it, it's everything gone.
No kidding, man.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody for one reason or another, you know?
Follow your rules, but right?
Then that's how you learn. Right, that's how you fine tune your lessons and your tricks in the trade.
That's it. That's
experience.
It. Yep. This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
So rental property. What's up with the rental property?
Well, rental properties.
Those are the target. That is what everybody wants. Buy and hold, wants. Baby. Buy and hold.
Is that the plan?
Or
is that your guys' plan in your career, rental properties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Passive income sounds like a name calling my name, you know, baby.
Well, when I talk rental properties, I'm talking, at least for my strategies, apartments, right? That's where I need to, that's where my plan takes me, right, to 100 doors plus is where I need to be, or where I'm looking to try to get to. Or not try to. I will get there. let me speak with some confidence here. I will get there. It's just a matter of time, like anything. But yeah, that's where I want to go with my real estate investing career.
I would say any property is going to be a good property if the acquisition is right.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get a loss here, you might get a vacancy here or there. But if the price is right, you know, on the purchase, it might turn into a good property. So you have good experience on that one. Pay 26, you know, 20K or 10K, and it turns into a great property. Turn around 3 years later, you make your 300,
Try $37. What was it? $37?
Yeah, was that 37? Did you get the one for a dollar? Not yet.
No. it'll happen though. On paper, it'll happen.
Yeah.
On paper, it'll happen, but not yet. Not yet. But yeah, no, I mean, rental properties are great. I nothing against the commercial side of the business or the multifamily. Absolutely not. I haven't gotten there yet myself. I focused most of my energy in single family homes with a very specific strategy. But rental properties is the way to go, you know, having that passive income.
Yeah.
That's what will slowly start, you know, pulling you away from where you have to go and put you in the spot of where you want to go.
Yeah. Right?
With that freedom.
When I think about the rentals, it's more like how does millennials, you know, around they. A lot of these people are just looking for commodity.
Commodity?
Mm-hmm. There you go. They're looking for a place where they don't really need to move too much. Yeah. So building a bunch of single family homes, it is great. I don't think it's going to suit the demand for this young generation. Mm-hmm. So that is where my mind starts like moving around.
Yeah.
Of course, there is always the demand out there for single family homes. The population doesn't stop. Everybody knows just population just keep growing and growing.
Yeah.
Riverside right now is growing and growing. I mean, there's so many projects going on. It's not going to stop.
Right.
I just think when I think about the commercial, I think about this youngest. You know, I know they like that.
They better be able to pay their rent.
they will.
Or exactly. Just pay the rent. But you know, that's a good point though.
They will.
So with your rental properties, how do you collect that rent? Do you go out and do it yourself?
No.
Or do you hire a property management company? Now think about that for a second. You got 100 plus doors. You're gonna go knock on each one of those doors like, hey, you're late.
Well, no, you have systems in place.
Right.
You know, I mean some people don't want to use systems, right? And you can't twist their arm and force them to use systems. There's some old-timer people that, you know, like some of the properties I've managed where it was multiple doors, you know, some ladies were 80, 90 years old. They didn't even have a cell phone. They didn't even have a computer. So you have to go physically collect the rent. You know, it's just some of the cons of property management.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they have to report a leak or any emergency. They're going to call you. They're not going to go into their, again, they don't have a laptop. They don't understand where to click or how to navigate a system. They're going to call you. So you're up for all these things that override the majestic plan of having everything controlled under a digital format, a digital system. You know, and you can't discriminate and say, hey, I'm going to twist your arm and force you to use my system. They could easily say, you know what? No. And you cannot say, I'm not going to rent you the property because you won't use the system because now you're discriminating.
Yeah.
So in California, you know, there's a lot of bitch rules here. You know,
I was like, did you just say bitch rules?
Yeah. So, and you have to abide by them.
Yeah.
You know, like as a contractor, I have to abide by every single rule the book has. Do I like them? Hell no. I hate the fucking contractors board, but I'm not going to lose my license.
Necessary evil.
Right.
You know,
so same thing with property management, you know, you could go ahead and put yourself in the elusive mindset of saying, yeah, you know, my daydream is everything. My phone is just bing, 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 rent coming in. No, it's not the fact.
Not at all.
It just doesn't happen that way out in the real world.
Yeah. I think when the owner, you know, the owners sometimes are more than one. When you have a property that you need to use the management company, mm-hmm. you have many doors. They have people that they trust. They have people that came through them to them as a referral from other communities or other apartments. They talk with each other. When that management company, it's good, it's going to save you money because, you know, you have a talk with your manager. And you say, after 3 days or a day, it's late, just go there, ask if is everything okay, do you need help, do you need this? You know, just don't wait. I think management properties, management companies are a keys for big business, even the small ones, right?
Yeah.
The small ones, if you keep them happy, mm-hmm. they are going to look after you. So
right.
And motivate them too, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's the pros and the cons into it, right?
Yeah.
Like some of the properties I have under property management companies, I have very strict guidelines. You know, like their expenditures, they cannot exceed such and such on a monthly basis, right? anything beyond this point, you have to call me. I have to approve it, or it's coming out of your end. Like, what? No, okay, mm-hmm. we'll call you, right? Because, mind you, I'm in construction. Like, I'll write you up for another item. I don't care, right? You call me for a missing doorknob, and now I get there, and then it happens to be that there's no door.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe, you know, hey, the door fell off, or it's kind of hanging, and it has no hinges. You only know the overall issue. Right now, the vendor's going to go there, and they're always going to try to, you know, always going to try to upsell you on the next thing. They have to make their trip worthwhile.
Yep.
Right. I was just negotiating with a local management company. They manage 480 units. And, you know, they said, would your company be interested in taking this account? And I said, well, send me your price list. And they sent me their prices. I said, fuck no. Absolutely not. You know, why would I even, well, you know, we think, your prices are good for handymen. So why don't you just continue talking to your handyman? So what would you be interested in? I'll take all your rehabs. Okay, what's your minimum threshold? 15K. Okay, so then we'll call you and then they're calling me, right? But again, it and I know this is going into property management more than the rental properties, but rental properties come with that.
Well, it comes together.
You know, the
definitely.
If you don't know all these behind the scenes things, or are connected to somebody that could put an eye on it, your passive income could be just
gone.
Being for, you know,
the rental company.
Paying the workers. Yep.
It's like I have a property with a septic tank that has an issue, and it's like I had the septic company come and pump it out 3 times in 1 year.
Wow.
And I said, shit, man, I didn't know I built this house for you. Like, I'm just paying you to pump it every 3 to 4 months. And so now there's an issue with the septic tank, and I got to get the guy that installed the septic tank to come and fix it. Otherwise, that investment in that build is for the septic company.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's so many variables.
Yep.
And it happens to seasoned, experienced people, too.
Yeah. There's always the surprise.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. There's always something that's going to come up that you can't necessarily, you can't account for everything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when you're already done with the build.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So all these headaches is what gives the aspiring wholesaler that advantage to say, you know, I don't want to deal with this crap. I just want to reassign a property, control the contract, give it to whomever's going to give my fee, and then move from that.
No toilets, no landlord. What is it? No tenants.
No termites, no toilets. No termites,
yeah.
No tenants.
Hey, but, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Depending on where you want to be, right?
Right.
Let's talk about this one real quick, because this one makes me cold. It's the borrower strategy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know that was like a big thing a couple of years back, right? Everybody was jumping on, I mean, videos and everything about Burr. I haven't heard anything about it anymore. Just saying, you know. But what does Burr stand for? Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat.
Yeah.
So, this is supposed to be a strategy that combines flipping and holding, right? Yeah, I don't know. I never really... I don't want to talk bad about it for anybody that's into that strategy, but it just never really made sense to me, you know? It just seemed more, I don't know, maybe I never really thought it through because it wasn't something I wanted to take on.
Yeah.
But as I listened to it, right, by rehab, the concept sounds great, but that refinance repeat part, I don't know. That's just where I kind of get stuck at, you know what I mean, on that strategy.
Yeah.
Because what are you refinancing? Where did you acquire the property? Like, what does that even look like? You know what I mean? And then now if it's a creative acquisition and you spent $37 on it, right? And it's free and clear, and you can, you know, make it work, then yeah, great. Because now you can have some, there's a lot of profit there, right? There's a huge spread when you refinance that property. And it's kind of cool because it's tax free.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, and this could be, you know, this could be contradicting to the masses, or at least the masses of asses teaching you different, very sexy ways of getting your money back in a quicker format. I you know, in our book, the Secrets of Leverage, we talk about leverage, and then we also go very detailed into being over leveraged and the risks behind being over leveraged. And, you know, I know one thing. I got into real estate investing because I wanted to buy my freedom.
Right.
Buy it for myself. No, nobody held it. I just wanted to buy it from myself, meaning I wanted to be able to gain more with less time. Right. And I can't see myself. Maybe it's one of my obstacles or one of my fears that I have to go get some mentoring for or something. But I don't want to be over leveraged.
Right.
I don't want to be encumbered in all this fucking debt. And then everything, I don't know. It's just one of my biggest fears, you know. It's like I'm old school, I guess.
But I'm with you on that, because it's the refinance, and then you go in and then you're supposed to do it again and then refinance again. And then that is the recipe for over leveraging at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. So what happens when you when you acquire at a low interest, and then when you refinance,
it's high.
Yeah, because it's happened over the last 2-3 years, right?
Well, there's your answer. That's why the strategy went cold.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people got attracted by the sexiness of it, of how well it got marketed, and then just ate it. I kept on telling everybody it's missing one R, right? It's buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat, and the last R, recover.
Yeah.
It's missing one R, you know? But again, you can only take the horse to the water, yeah, right? Well, you can't force it to drink, you know? It's like a lot of people get distracted by the very good marketing tactics and strategies, right? The watch, the suit, the car, the house, the traveling and all that good BS. And then the process is failed to be delivered, and then you eat it. You eat it. You that and didn't know how to get into that and got into it.
And that sucks.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I didn't even attempt this strategy when it was like the big thing. I just, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, just the refinance and repeat part.
I can't connect with it, man.
Yeah.
Refinance is the one that I always get. Like, I look at them just like, I refi my house at 2.2%, what's really low. What else am I going to do it? Like,
you know, I don't know. I just,
can they imagine if I need to refinance and repeat right now? What am I going to do? I'm going to do the reverse.
7, 8, 10%. Yeah, thank you.
Let's get in debt here. Like, let's do it 8%, 10%, and repeat. What the fuck am I?
I would imagine, though. I mean, I would think people made some money off of this strategy, though. I would think, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we're not trying to say that people don't make money off of it, but I don't know, man. Maybe I'm ignorant to it. I'm not going to say I've never done it, but looking at the basics of it, at least for my investor ID, hell no.
Yeah.
You know, not for me. And then one thing, let's make this very clear. Not every strategy is for everybody. You have to understand what is that you like, what is that you feel comfortable with, what do your resources allow you to do.
It's all about your investor ID. We talked about this a couple of episodes ago.
You gotta know what that is. And then what not, you know? Stay away from it, you know? Yeah. It's like,
yeah, that, and, I don't know. And that wasn't part of my investor ID. I did stay away from it. I found it interesting because, like I said, it was talked a lot. I remember there was a person I met who was just, oh man, I'm going, you know, these seminars and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And oh yeah, I'm, you know, they're they're almost giving these properties away. And I'm like, oh, well, let me know how it works out, man. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think you ever did anything with it either, but whatever. I just remember it was just like all over the place. Everywhere you turned, man, somebody was talking about brr. Anyway, what about buy and hold? That's another strategy. A little different from rental properties, but almost the same.
I think that it's going to end up, you know, with the benefits of the capital appreciation, the rentals, the passive income. It's ended up about in the same. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's what you want. Tax benefits, you know.
Yeah, it's whatever your plan is at the end.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And everybody has a different plan.
It depends how much zeros you want in your bank account. People say, yeah, I want $100,000 on passive income. How much is $100,000 passive income in rentals? How much do you need to have in rentals, how many properties, how many doors, so you can achieve that. They come up with number that they pull from some you know, part of their body. They don't even know but what
there was a lot of talk about like a standard. There I remember there was a lot of talk about like kind of a standard amount that people were earning in their buy and holds, right? And completely separate from, you know, anything creative or anything like that. But I think a lot of it was even retail buying, right? And then turning around and then renting out the property for more than, of course, what their payments were, because they're putting the big down payments, so on and so forth. And I think they're saying the average amount, or the amount of passive income that was being earned on average was like $300-$400 a month. And I was like, man, that's a lot of liability to take on for a few hundred dollars a month. Because
passive income.
Yeah. Because they went out and they took a loan out, right? 20% down, you know, or 30% down, depending on what they did. And then, of course, rented the property out. But, you know, whatever their strategy was, it was just like, yeah, I mean, $300 a month. That's, to me, it was a lot of risk for
not a lot of gain. You know, so but then again, you know, there is sense to that, right? So say example, you put a $30,000 down on a $500,000 property, right? Just number that came out of mind. And then you cash flow $300 to $400 a month, right? So, you know, the appreciation on the flip side, say the property, that $500,000 property went to $700,000.
Yes.
Right. So now you had that cash flow on a monthly basis. You had the tax write-offs, right? Appreciation, depreciation, income, right? And then if you flip and offload the property, you just made, you know, that $200K minus expenses on your $30,000 investment.
And there's your big profit.
So right. So there is sense to it, and to each their own, you know, everybody is going to run their business based on whatever. If they have a master plan, that's the plan you should follow. My plan is build those zeros.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's my plan. I want a bunch of zeros in my account for my family.
I tell everybody that, though. When you're talking about zeros in your account, make sure that you're putting them on the back side of the account.
Right. No, not on the front side. In green, not in red. Right. But yeah, I mean, some people want the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right. Matter of fact, the vast majority of people that I met in the business, they talk about the lifestyle that they get in being in the investing world. I'm going to say it's like an 80-20, almost an 85-15%. 15% of the people don't even care for the lifestyle. You know, they're humble, easygoing. You probably wouldn't give a dime for them. They don't wear no more than $100 on worth of clothing, and they're fucking rich as hell. Some of the wealthiest people I know. If you add up, if you pull out your iPhone and add up, face value what they're wearing, maybe not no more than $50, $60, right? Yet they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's crazy. Well, actually, it's kind of cool. I mean, either
it
way.
It is cool. It is really cool, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But a lot of people get wrapped up in the lifestyle that the business or the marketable side of the business tells people that they're going to get. And then they forget to run the business.
Now, that's funny.
You know,
they cash the check.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cash the check before they close the deal. They go to Cancun or, I don't know, go to Brazil.
Yeah, let's go.
They're in trouble.
Samba time.
Samba time, huh?
All right, guys. So, you know us. I mean, we started with one topic and then we ended up in Brazil.
That's how we do.
Yeah, right? And that's what we do, I guess. That's the beauty of the dynamic of this crazy team. But anyways, let's wrap it up, guys. I had a migraine, and thanks for all the loony shit we talk about. It went away.
Yeah, there you go.
And a soda in your eye, right?
Yeah. So let's have a closing statement. Danny, what's up?
Nah, I just say whatever that you guys are looking out there to find on real estate, find the passion, make sure you understand what you're looking for, the numbers, don't come up with crazy numbers and do not understand what that means. You know, if you're going to work with a flip, you understand that should be a fast thing to do, a fast turnaround and little difference like that. On the end of the day, I think real estate, it's where you can build your wealthy and live the lifestyle that you want, or go to your trips, or go to Brazil, or go whatever.
Or buy a watch.
Yeah, or buy a watch.
Buy the watch.
I have a crazy watch story, but yeah.
I'm going to say just know your ID, know your investor ID, you know, and those strategies will kind of come to you once you identify who you are in this business.
Yeah.
And we did talk a lot about different strategies and maybe some that we don't necessarily, I don't want to say not agree with, but that just don't fit our investor ID. And so it's something that we just won't touch. Not to say that those are right or wrong strategies. It's just not something we would get involved with. So just wanted to make that clear, you know, to everybody out there.
And
listening.
We're not trying to say for you not to get involved
with
them.
Exactly. Just know your ID.
Yeah,
know your
ID. That's it. But you know what? I'm just gonna throw. It's a quick watch story. My 1 million story. So I had a partner when we started in the business, and he was very kept to himself, and he was looking for a space to belong, to be part of something, right? And you know, we ended up doing real estate investing coaching together, or hired the same coaches, and he got his first deal under his belt. Right. And everybody that we were around always had nice watches. And he thought that was the next step. Right. I mean,
watch
what I'm telling you, what I told you at the beginning, he was trying to fit in. He was trying to belong to something. So with this check, he bought this very sexy, fucking beautiful watch. Right. And the way his posture was that of a, not a defeated individual, more like a frightened individual, insecure, uncertain type of individual, right? His shoulders were down and he was always like kept to himself. And then that day when he bought the watch, we walked into a meeting and one of our coaches told him, "Wow, what a beautiful watch, man. It changes who you are." This fucking guy, you should have seen him, man. He blew up like King Kong. His chest came out. His shoulders were high and tight, you know. His forehead, his chin. I mean, his posture changed from that day. And his fucking business went south.
Ah, that sucks.
Because he got what he was missing. That acknowledgement. And he gave it to that fucking watch. And then from then on, he made sure that every time he landed a deal and cashed a check, he made sure he acquired somebody something that would make him fit in.
Oh, man.
And he only focused on the lifestyle. 15 years later, he's fucking broke.
That sucks.
That sucks, right?
Moral of the story?
The moral of the story is the beginning is always the end. Okay? Or the end is always the beginning. So you should always seek where you want to go. You should always seek what you want to be, who you want to be, what you want to acquire, what you want to be known for. Who do you want to be known for? And then get there.
Yeah.
That's how you draft a business. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the pit of that lifestyle trying to fit, trying to fit, trying to fit, trying to fit. This business will give you the money to fit. But then fitting is so fucking tiring.
It's like, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine I haven't talked to in a while. And this person was telling me how they moved to a whole nother area. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, right on. You know, good for you. Yeah. You know what? I'm much happier here now. Blah, blah, blah. But that's what you said when you moved to the previous house. And you said that prior to the other, like, now you moved all the way, you know, across the state. And now that's going to make you happy? Like, at the end of the day, it's all about finding your internal happiness and your internal peace, right? Your gratitude, so on and so forth. Because that watch isn't going to make him the person that he was looking for.
No, right? Not at the end.
And that person I'm talking about, their move isn't going to make them the person they're looking to be. They got to find, like, you got to find that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the end is always the starting point.
Right.
You know, that's where you should start drafting your business and your business plan. Because if you don't have that clarity, you're just going to be shooting blanks, heading nowhere, making money, and then life is going to catch up, right? Deals are going to, inventory is going to drop because the cycle's going to turn. And guess what? You didn't make shit. You're too busy looking good.
I'm being miserable about it.
Yeah, right? No way. Anyways, it was a nice chat today.
Yes, sir.
Jumped all over the place, and we'll see you soon.
Right. So, hey, don't forget, guys, hit us up on social media.
Instagram, follow us.
Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok. If you want to know more about or need more information, hit the info, becomeaninvestor.com. Give us that 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and high five.
High five. We'll see you guys next time.
Right on.
Bye. Bye.